Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What are the forgotten tools of tradecraft? Which objects might unlock the hidden history of espionage? I'm Alice Loxton, and this is a history of the world in spy objects from Spyscape Studios. How is it that some objects, inanimate though they are, carry such an air of circumstance and importance? The item you are about to handle is long since detached from any owner or purpose, and yet it still demands to be respected.
It's a red leather Aspery's case, and it looks like a sort of pretty well cared for and treasured folio with rather ornate, I would say, Art Deco initials on the clasp, the initials KP.
And there you have the only clue as to this red leather case's original owner. It's not much to go on, but those two little letters loom rather large in espionage history for those who know.
KP stands for Kim Philby. That's all it could possibly stand for, I think.
Kim Philby is a man who scarcely needs introduction, but will offer you one anyway.
Kim Philby is a traitor. There's a man who was recruited by Russian intelligence services and then inserted himself into the British intelligence apparatus and rose through the ranks of the Special Intelligence Service until he was unmasked as a traitor and had to do a runner from Beirut to Russia.
As a member of the notorious Cambridge Five spy ring, Kim Philby was active through the latter part of the 1930s, the duration of the Second World War, and the advent of the Cold War, during which time he became one of the Soviet Union's most treasured assets, passing along the closest guarded secrets of the British intelligence services. As such, he was a man well acquainted with putting a particular version of himself forwards and keeping other aspects of his character well under wraps.
It's interesting, in fact, these initials being KP, because his real name was Harold Adrian Russell Philby. So you would have thought it would have been H-A-R-P or H-A-P or something. But anyway, KP, Kim Philby.
And the man who will be guiding you through this particular entry to the archives?
My name is Alexander Carey. I'm a television writer and producer.
As you'll soon discover, he's better placed than most to give you some insight into the enigma that is Kim Philby.
Funnily enough, my relationship goes back a little while to when I was a schoolboy, really. I went to Westminster School in London, which is the same school he went to. So his shadow loomed quite large over the school. Despite all the other illustrious alums of that school, his shadow was fairly long. And I've always been intrigued by him. I've been intrigued by Cold War ever since I was a child, and intrigued by the themes or the subjects of loyalty and ideology and belief. So he's been lurking around as one of the more interesting people to have graduated from the same school I went to.
An adolescent fascination crystallized into something more substantial when Alexander Carey found himself writing about spies in a professional capacity for the hit espionage thriller Homeland.
He really came back into sort of close to front of mind when I was writing on Homeland, and we would do a lot of research and reading up on the minds of spies and the psychology of traitors and spies and patriots and all kinds of other people. If you're interested in espionage, you're going to hit on Philby at some point. And then I started reading Ben McIntyre's books at about that time. And I think A Spy Among Friends was the second or third of his books that I read. I was always fascinated by it.
Eventually, Alexander Carey would adapt McIntyre's book about Philby into a TV series starring Guy Pearce as the notorious spy. Like the book, it's called A Spy Among Friends. The project was Alexander's first crack at telling a true story, and he felt a certain burden of responsibility with the material.
I thought it was my job to empathise with him as much as I could, while also being wary of humanising a man who was responsible for hundreds, maybe thousands of deaths.
Kim Philby was ruthless in his loyalty to the Soviets. He is believed to be personally responsible for the failure of Operation Valuable, a joint MI6 and CIA mission to drop Albanian expatriates behind enemy lines during the early days of the Cold War. Estimates put the body count of his intelligence at some 300 agents. But Alexander Carey knew that he would have to get inside Philby's head and perhaps even like him if he was to represent him faithfully.
The main thing I liked about him, first of all, he's a classic. I'm someone who's always been attracted to the people who are anti-authority, anti-establishment to a certain extent. You know, those people are always more interesting and appealing. So there's that. But I first really began to feel that there was an access point into empathizing with him when I started to understand what he did in Austria.
Kim Philby graduated from Cambridge University in 1933 and immediately signed up to an organization called the World Federation for the Relief of the Victims of German Fascism.
He went to Austria as a 21-year-old and fell in love, but also what worked for, I suppose, what can be described as partisan resistance to the fascist and anti-Semitic regime of the time, and he helped communists and Jews escape. And I began to think that I understood him a little bit there. I think that what happened in Vienna and what he did in Vienna and what he saw and felt in Vienna defined him to a certain extent. And that's when I began to understand how he could keep going.
It's in Vienna that Kim Philby's beliefs calcified. Carey didn't have to agree with his ideology to understand where it came from.
I also think that men in this world, generally speaking, men are always seeking defining moments in their lives, usually when they're quite young, which is responsible for a lot of good men doing good things, but also for a lot of other stuff. It's why people can be radicalized. It all seems to happen in roughly the same neighborhood age-wise. It certainly did for me as well. I was in the army for that same period of my life, and I'm sure that certain things I saw and did defined me.
As you are no doubt beginning to understand, Carey has devoted much of his talent and his time to understanding what made one of the world's most notorious traitors tick, which is why the red leather portfolio that sits before him is so valuable.
I think the most striking thing when in opening it is finding these typed sheets of text for some sort of memoir.
Inside the folio, 100 or so typed pages with handwritten edit notes in the margin. Those pages attempt to tell the story of Philby's early life and his recruitment to the KGB. But that's a story Carey's heard before. It's the tone of the writing that intrigues him most.
These pages deal with his psychological state as much as anything else. I'm less interested in living with Granny in Camberley and all the rest of it, but I am interested in his sense of class and the British class. And these are the days before everybody mockneyed themselves up. And this is a guy who was sort of proudly of a certain type in England, which is so weird because he did everything he could to destroy them.
These pages, discovered by Philby's widow after his death in exile in the late 80s, were very likely written towards the end of his life. They offer an intriguing glimpse into how the man saw himself well into old age.
The fact that it's typed would suggest to me that he thought that people were going to want to read this. And it feels like he wanted people to, I think, probably remember him in a certain way, in a certain English way, actually. It's an interesting document, and it's interesting tonally as well, because it feels very British, and I think that Philby always held on to his Britishness, which is, to be honest, that Asprey's ridiculous Asprey's case is part of the posh British thing that he probably didn't want to let go of.
Ultimately, to flick through these pages is to become acquainted with the contradiction that lies at Kim Philby's core.
It tells me what I've always believed, and it's really not an original thought on my part. It's a Ben McIntyre thought, which was he was quite proud to be a communist, but he never wanted to be a Russian. And the only way that he could ever have been a communist was to have been a spy and to have availed himself of the various luxuries of middle-class, upper-middle-class Britishness. And that this, to me, is a sort of symbol of that, a dramatic symbol of that.
So potent a symbol, in fact, that Carey wishes he'd got his hands on this object earlier, before he'd written Kim Philby's story for the screen.
If I had known about this thing, this Red Asprey's case, I would have for sure used this in the television show as just a character detail.
Because it's details like this that provide weight and substance to the lurking shadow of Kim Philby. Whatever you might think of him, you should resist any urge to consider him solely as some beguiling character out of a spy novel. Philby was as real as the cracked red leather on the case in Carey's hands and the yellowing pages it contains.
I think that there is a temptation to think that everything Philby did and said was bullshit, was just a lie, was just an act. And I think this isn't an act. A lot of this isn't an act. His memories of Camberley, his memories of Britain, his sense of nostalgia and his sense of amusement. And what that does for me is it gives you a more layered, nuanced understanding of a human being rather than somebody who's easily categorized into just the villain role. And the whole purpose of my exploration of his character in the show I did was to try and find the human being that so perhaps we could understand him a little bit. Doesn't mean we have to sympathize, but understand him as a human being. And I think that's important.
I'm Alice Loxton. More secrets await in the next episode of A History of the World in Spy Objects from Spyscape Studios. Explore the collection on spyscape.com/spy objects. If you like this podcast, please give it a 5-star rating or leave a review. Ratings and reviews help other people discover the series and help us bring you more episodes like this one. Or why not forward the podcast to a friend? And thank you for listening.